Hey there, have you heard the news about two ladies with some funny mental health views? They got a podcast, it's a real blast. Sharing stories that'll have you in stitches.
Hey, I'm Kelly Kranz.
And I'm Kimberly.
And welcome to the I'm Not OKK podcast.
Hi.
We are living it up. We are living our best lives. That's a lie. We're living lives.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Nope.
It's that thing where it's like, I'm not thriving. I'm surviving, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the vibe.
That's the vibe.
That's the vibe.
And now we're podcasting and we're surviving and we're not thriving. Kimberly, what?
We're attempting to thrive. But we're not there yet. We're not even close. We're like, what's just like plateauing? We're trying to strive to plateau.
What is, if you're just going to just strive to plateau, we're going to cross country ski?
I don't know where your train of mind went with that. But sure. Okay.
You can cross country ski on like up on like a flat area, right? Like, yeah, like everything else is going to plateau and just fall flat. Like we cross country ski across that flat shit.
Okay. There's a lot of flat things. You could be like, I'm going to roll a ball across a table. Like,
I heard the earth is flat.
Oh, don't even start. Oh my gosh. Different podcast.
Definitely a different podcast.
I would like, if that was true, I'd be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, if that was one of my real beliefs, you probably wouldn't be having this podcast with me if that was one of my real beliefs. Oh my God.
If it was one of your real beliefs, I would have to think about it. I'd have to be like, okay, Kelly's educated. This might just be a thing that's like, you know, one time I don't know. I can't think of a good reason, but I wouldn't judge you solely on that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Do you know what the listeners can't see?
Our beautiful faces.
That they are something to look at, but our cute little doggies.
These inanimate, I don't need squishy doggies.
They're like little squishy doggies that like little kids get out of packs out of gas stations, and we have the same ones. So now they're accessories on our microphones.
Yeah, but let's say where we got ours, because I got mine as a bonus when I bought 3 slimes from an Etsy shop. So.
Oh, well, she got that from a gas station because I got mine from there.
Oh, well, wow.
It came in
like
a package.
Just bring them down.
It was just like a package. You just like open it up and there was 2 in there. So, but they probably saw them and it's like you could buy them in bulk anywhere. Because they're just little squishy. They're little.
Probably.
Can you even call these squishies? I don't think kids call these squishies. It's a
you
little
can
depression
squish
doggy.
Them.
Who's a little depression doggy? Who's a little depression
doggy? You're a depression doggy.
Doggy.
Oh my goodness. That, okay. Yeah. It's our mascot now.
Mm hmm.
That
get more.
And just sadness.
Summertime sadness. It's on the way.
Yeah, actually. So do you ever get wind warnings? That's a thing that you – yeah, you guys get hurricanes. Okay.
Yeah, we get wind warnings. Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to get one with winds up to 45 miles per hour, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, guess who's has a valid excuse to stay indoors? This girl.
Do you need a valid excuse to stay indoors? But it helps to have one.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, oh, could I go outside and take a walk? No, the government or the weather people are telling me stay indoors.
The government is telling me to stay inside. The weather people who are government workers.
Are they?
Yeah, are they not? The Postal
I don't know.
Service and the government?
No.
That's another podcast.
Okay.
So do you remember last week we were talking
barely.
About – barely. I know, right? We were talking about doing – shifting things 2 degrees, like doing small things that we can – that'll make us feel better about ourselves, things that we like – you know, we don't have to eat the whole pizza at once. You could just have a slice. Did you do yours? Mine was to – I said I was going to take Effie out, my dog. And, you know, like take her for like a walk. I did that twice.
Crushing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's more than I've done it recently. Very, very, and you know, a lot of time. So yeah, I did a little 2 degree shift. I'd like to continue to do it, to take her out every day, at least once a day, but coming outside is full of anxiety.
Yeah. And it's work, you know?
Yeah, it is work too. The second I'm outside and I'm doing it, I'm mad, but I'm happy at the same time, but I'm mad. But
why are you mad?
Because I'm mad because I'm like fucking had to push myself to get out there. And then I'm out there and I'm like, well, now that I'm here, what else can I be doing that's not here?
I never actually think that when I go on a walk. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just like the entire time just loathing it. Like I could be napping right now.
Something like that. It's like I can enjoy it and then I'm enjoying it but not enjoying it at the same time.
How fascinating.
Yeah, it is fascinating. It might have something to do with my dog. She likes to like bark at people. No, like bite people and then go after other dogs. So walking isn't necessarily relaxing to do with her.
Oh,
so I always have like a pet like aerosol, just like spray that can like startle her like in my pocket. And I just have to walk with my head on a swivel. And if dogs are coming at us, you know, I have to turn around and walk the other way. And then there could be a dog coming around that corner. Listen, right now, this is so boring to listen to. I'm so sorry. Kimberly, how is your 2 degrees?
Thanks for asking. And anytime people talk about dogs, I'm interested. So I was interested. But whatever. My 2 degrees, I didn't really do because it was like to kind of be present, to like pet Walter and be present in the moment. I actually took Walter for a walk 2 times 2 in the past like week. And one time I realized I was just like kind of present. I was like there, we were walking. I don't listen to music or anything like that on my walks. And Walter, he eats things. Like there was like a pizza crust and you know, I have to watch out for that because he'll eat it or whatever.
I thought you were going to say like he's out there eating pine cones, like every little bit because there's dogs like that.
Oh, no. But he does go in my backyard and eats rabbit poop. Meanwhile, I'm buying him insanely expensive dog food because I want him to, like, be healthy. I'm like, oh, my partner hates it. He's like, why are you spending so much money? He literally eats garbage. And I'm like, you don't get it. Like, he is my soul dog. But, yeah, so I kind of did the 2 degrees. Kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did, like, 1 degree or 2 degrees in a different way.
It popped up. It appeared. It took advantage of the situation. So, what you know, the walking. Yeah. I mean, we can't not count it. We did things that we said that we were going to do in some capacity. Now, the hard part is just being like not mad that it didn't happen like every single fucking day. Because that's where it's like, oh, well, I only did it fucking once. I did it yesterday and I'm supposed to do it again today, but I didn't do it today. So now I feel guilty. And da 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 and da 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 da. And then it goes in a circle and it doesn't stop.
Well, that's 360 degrees. Yes.
Yes, that's true. And we're just trying to go 2 degrees.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, we don't do it every day, but that's why it's like a 2 degree change, not a 180.
Yeah. Well, you know? Well, I want to do another one because I want to like keep this going on the pod. I think I'm going to continue to do that shit with my dog because I definitely need to take her out more.
Walk your dog.
I need to walk my dog. I definitely need to take her out more. And I think my other like, and I don't know if this counts as 2 degrees or not, but I think I might not sleep on the couch anymore.
Whoa, new sofa, new life.
Yes, I got a new sofa. So I'm thinking now's a good time to break like the habit because I won't have to, you know, I don't have a relationship with the sofa yet. It doesn't know me like at 2 a.m. waking up, you know, searching for my glasses. It doesn't know me like that, like the other sofa did. Someone picked it up. It got in the car. I waved goodbye. I was like, oh, goodbye. It's pretty sad. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, that can
fuck
be emotional.
That sofa. But anyway, okay. That's going to be my 2 degrees. It's going to try my best to, and maybe it might not be all nights this week, coming week. It could be maybe just a few nights, but That'd be a win.
Yeah, that's the 2 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good for you. I think I'm going to try and eat a meal at meal times because is hard for me, where I'll like eat a snack and then it'll be 8 o'clock and I'll be like, oh, I'm hungry for food. And it's like, why didn't I eat at a normal time? Or why did I like eating cake doesn't count as a meal, you know? So yeah. I think it's just eating decent food around meal times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be my 2 degrees.
Do you eat any meals in general?
Yes, I'm a human being. I have to eat food, Kelly.
I have noticed you, you know, over the past couple of months per se, eat different things that aren't like, I see you eat around the meal times and they're not meals. So when are you eating your meals? That's what I wanted to say.
That not came around out. Meal times.
It took me a while to get that out.
Yeah, that was hard to understand.
It was.
But I eat meals. I ate mac and cheese in front of you the other day. That's a meal.
That's true. We were both eating meals together.
Yeah.
I was eating some type of rice thing with steak in it.
Oh, that sounds good.
It was leftover.
I love leftovers. But see, I eat meals.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
Feeling a lot of judgment. You know?
Sorry. I never mean to judge.
Good.
But you know, I've always judged. I'm always like, what are you eating now? Yeah. And you're like, this snack is da 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 da. And I'm just like, yes, yes.
Yeah. I normally show you the bowl and it looks terrible. You're just like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I live my life. I live my life.
Yep. Well, that's cool. That's a good 2 degrees. So try and do that at least a few times.
Thanks, girl.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. Let's jump right into my story.
Jump, jump, jump.
Okay. Yeah. Bring that energy with you. So I will be looking at music and mental health.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
How they coincide. So the sources are psychiatry.org, verywellmind.com, harvard.edu, jedfoundation.org, and verywellmind. So before I get into anything, Kelly, what is your favorite genre of music? I will list them. Is it pop, rap, hip hop, country, rock, heavy metal, indie, dance, classical, or jazz, blues, and soul?
Pop, rap, pop. And hip hop. I think some indie in there.
Okay. You have to choose one.
Oh, one. Well, I guess the most I'd gravitate towards is pop.
Okay. So they say that your music genre says something about you. So you chose pop. I like pop too. It says extroverted, honest, and conventional. Okay.
The fuck is although conventional? Pop music what lovers, the fuck is conventional about me?
Yeah, I know. That's
I just incorrect. Got offended. I got so offended.
Okay. That's a weird thing to get offended to. Although pop music lovers were hardworking and had high self-esteem, researchers suggest that they are less creative and more uneasy than those enamored by other musical styles. So I'm not sure that's actually you.
It literally just called me basic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rap fans tended to have high self-esteem and were generally more outgoing than fans of other styles. And then you said indie?
Yeah, but not like deep indie, but like, you know, like that folksy. I like some folksy okay, well, stuff.
I'll just do indie. Fans of the indie genre registered as introverted, intellectual, and creative, but less hardworking and gentle than fans of other styles. Passivity, anxiousness, and low self-esteem were other notable personality characteristics. So.
What?
Anyway, so let's keep going. I just thought that was interesting that like sometimes your music genre can actually say stuff about you. It's almost like you're a horoscope.
I have a question.
Okay, yes.
What does the Taylor Swift music genre say about someone?
It says we shouldn't talk about it.
Okay.
She doesn't have a genre. She went from country to pop. I can't. We can't get into this.
You can't do it.
You will get geek out too much. This podcast will take 3 hours. I will leave. We can't.
Continue with your story.
Okay.
Taylor Swift is my genre.
No, that's no.
That's what. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so first benefit of music is it has been shown to heal trauma through music therapy. So there's been numerous studies about this, how music therapy has shown promise in providing a safe and supportive environment for people who are suffering from trauma and trying to heal and building resilience. It also decreases anxiety levels and improves functioning of depressed individuals. And it's actually evidence-based, which is pretty cool that like they've done the studies. It's evidence backs it that like music helps people through these traumas. Mm-hmm. So I really love that because it's not like, oh, like, is it, you know, where it's okay, this might help. It's actually being used. So musical therapy is an established healthcare profession that uses evidence-based music interventions to address the health goals.
Really? So I'm sorry. It's an actual.
I guess. Yeah.
Like I could sign up with a doctor and do music therapy.
Yeah. I'm not sure if your insurance will cover it, but I think. Yeah.
I didn't realize I called the front desk.
Well, I'm not going to be like, yeah, you could do it. And then it costs you like $2,000 because your insurance is like, no. So yeah,
you're right,
I'm
you're
always
right.
thinking about that insurance. Are you kidding me? Meet that deductible. But it happens between patient, obviously, and like family or caregivers can be there as well. And then a board certified music therapist, which is pretty cool. And you have to like complete undergrad and graduate music therapy program. So pretty intense. It's
a pretty big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a number of things that can be done. They have active. So like active music therapy where you can the patient can like sing, play an instrument, write a song, movement, digital music creation, just like anything that involves music. And then there's also more of the receptive side where it's like you listen to music, guided imagery with music, playlist creation, music conversation. So there's two different worlds that you can kind of go in, but it's not just like you sit in a room and like listen to music. Like it's like there is, you know, more to it than that. But still, the fact that music is this thing that like helps people through is pretty cool. So in these processes, they create goals to improve health and well-being. And these goals could be to decrease anxiety, shift mood, decrease pain perception during cancer or other medical treatments, which is kind of crazy, increasing expression, finding motivation, those kinds of things, and overall just improving your quality of life. So it's kind of cool that they're doing it to each situation because each situation is unique, but like music helps just improve your life. Like that's just crazy that this one thing that isn't medicinal, isn't, you know, whatever, it's music that you listen to every day actually can really help. So that's one thing, music therapy. It can also help with stress, which I feel like a lot of people already know about, where it's like you listen to your favorite music and it kind of just brings you into a different world. But there was a study done where some people listened to relaxing music, others listened to the sound of rippling water, and then another group weren't listening to any music. And then they were presented like a stressful situation or a stress test or whatever. And the result was that listening to music had an impact on human stress response, particularly the autonomic nervous system. So those who listened to music, like regardless of what kind, tended to recover more quickly following a stressor. So mm-hmm. people who listened to that like water or like calming music actually were able to handle the stress better or didn't become as stressed, which is so cool. So it can also improve motivation, which I just think of Eye of the Tiger when I think of improved motivation, where it's just like that gets you going. And this even said like listening to music when you exercise. Like I have that certain playlist that just there's like I know there's playlists out there where it keeps in mind the beat of the song to how fast you should run during that time. So like you can keep up and stuff. It's pretty cool, but it's like, yeah, that makes sense. So one experiment designed to investigate this, like in music and improving motivation, had 12 healthy male students cycle at self-paced speeds. There were three trials. They biked for 25 minutes at a time, and they listened to a playlist of six different popular songs of various tempos. So, unknown to the listeners, the researchers made subtle differences to the music and measured performance. So, the music that was left at normal speed increased by 10%, or so there's music at normal speed, yeah, and then there was it increased by 10%. And it decreased by 10%. Mm-hmm. Speeding up the tracks resulted in increased performance in terms of distance covered, the speed of pedaling, and power exerted. Conversely, slowing down the music's tempo led to decreases in all those things. So music directly affected how well they performed, which is just so funny how, like, subconsciously we keep up with this music. Like, that's where even people who don't have, I'm not, well, your dad's a drummer. So, like, yeah, you probably have music in you.
But you would think.
Is that a no?
Yeah, I'm not. Like, no, I don't play music instruments or anything like that. Or,
oh. Mm-hmm. Do you have good beat? Can you dance?
Yeah, I could dance. I could hold a beat. Mm-hmm. I could find a rhythm. Okay. I could find a rhythm.
Okay, well, I've never seen you dance, so I'm not sure I 100% believe that, but okay. But it's just like people who can't, who don't have any rhythm or don't understand the beat. Mm-hmm. I still think innately we know the like rhythmic whatever of a song, you know? Like I feel like that's just our body just like, I don't know. I don't know how science works, but.
Just vibing with vibrations, energy.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
Just the energies.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's kind mm-hmm. of. Because I'm a trained pianist. Well, I took piano lessons for many years.
You're trained what now?
Don't even get your mind out of the gutter.
It's just so easy with that one. It's just so easy. It's so silly. It's so childish. Oh my gosh. I love it.
How old are you, dear God?
12.
Yeah, you're a 12-year-old boy. But
say it again. Like,
no, I am not. I will not fulfill your fantasy. But ever since I was like young, I would tap along to songs and realize I was doing it. Like it would happen subconsciously because I'd keep the beat of the song mm-hmm. because that's the way I was kind of taught to like keep the beat. So then you like you can play but still be on beat. So it's just like it's innate. Yes, it's a trained behavior, but I feel like other people have that. It's just not as obvious. I don't know. Anyway, I digress. Getting too jacked here. Okay.
Well, no, think about all the chants and everything all through history. Yes. Like before, like instruments and stuff like that, like there was always some type of musical aspect. Like people in coal mines, like singing songs, chemical workers singing songs to get through the day.
Chemical workers?
Yes, there's a few. My partner listens to all sorts of music and he has a few songs that I call them chants because I'm just like, what is chanting in our house right now? And he's like, these are the chemical workers.
Oh my gosh. That is a weird genre of music.
So yeah, it'll be like things along those lines of, yeah, people are always like, yeah, music is just there. Even when music isn't there, an instrument, like even if you can't sing. Yeah, even people like have been music. People have been using music to get through so much.
Yeah.
All of their lives.
And it's also a form of like expression, like culturally, but just also there's been like, what's it called? When you rebel, it can be like a protest song. You know, there's just so much you can do with music.
Like Insane Clown Posse?
I don't listen to them. I don't know.
They're a whole posse. I don't actually know what they're.
Oh,
whole.
Of insane clowns.
Yeah, no, like they dress up and they put the clowns on their. They dress up with the clowns on their faces and the makeup and everything like that.
Yeah,
I forget what their joking. Mission is exactly, but I don't think it's about scaring people. But yeah,
well, probably still happens. But okay, sure. Anyway, I'll keep on moving. So it can also help improve mood. Music can make you happier. So once again, a study looked at reasons why people listen to music, and music played an important role in relating arousal and mood. So Okay, yeah. Young child mind over there.
I'm making faces that you guys can't see.
Yeah, because I said arousal. Participants rated music's ability to help them achieve a better mood and become more self-aware as two of the most important functions of music, which I thought is interesting. Like, you don't really think of becoming more self-aware when you listen to music.
But we went from getting a boner to becoming self-aware.
Okay, well, you put the – I can't – no. We got to move away from arousal. Okay. Another study found that intentionally trying to boost moods by listening to positive music could have an impact within 2 weeks. So in this study, the participants were told to purposely attempt to improve their mood by listening to positive music each day for 2 weeks. Other participants listened to music but were not told to become happier intentionally. So they're just like, hey, go listen to music. And then the participants were asked to describe their own levels of happiness. Those who had intentionally tried to improve their moods reported feeling happier after just 2 weeks. So going into something, like going into listening to music, you can be like, I want to listen to this music to be happier. And like, it can make you happier, I guess, within 2 weeks, according to this study. But I'm not sure that's necessarily been tested a ton. So not sure I'd 100% believe that. But like, just listening to music in general can make you happier, which is pretty cool. And going along with that, it can also improve depression, which I feel like kind of makes sense, because when you're sad and then you listen to a happier song or something, or you're all in your head, just in depression mode, not mode, but you know what I mean. And you like listen to music and then you might start singing along, or like, you know, it kind of gets you out of that zone.
I'll wake up in the morning and I know if I ask Alexa to play my favorite songs that I have listed on Spotify, I start playing music while I'm doing my morning routine, like, you know, feeding all the cats and dog and all that shit, I immediately like pep up and I start going and I feel really, really good. But because of my depression and because I know that that will help me, I refuse to ask Alexa to sing me happy music in the morning.
Gosh.
It's just complete self-sabotage like that.
That is.
But there's also a catharsis that comes with – is that how you say catharsis? Catharsicism? Something that comes
catharsis?
With – Yeah. Like, and what I really like to do – is like if I'm upset and like I'm really feeling the depression, which is just constantly always. But if I'm driving, I like just blasting music from when I'm in middle school, just like fucking getting down to like Taking Back Sunday, Senses Fail, like Jimmy Eat World, just like Under Oath, just like screamo music. Like I'm in my car, like just like,
oh my gosh.
Yes, like that just like feels so good. And then sometimes just, have you ever turned on music and just done your own little like dance recital?
No.
Yeah. So I highly recommend that, because you move your body while you're listening to music. Basically, I started to do it when I saw all of the – it's coming up again and you're going to dislike it. I started to do it when I saw all of these Taylor Swift reels of people who were doing her dance moves from her concert, and they have like these blankets on and they're like throwing themselves like with the, like they're just doing her actions that she was doing in her concert. And I was like, that's actually super fucking funny and it looks like a lot of fun. So I started doing that, and you could just like hop all over your furniture and just like rock out to different things. And it's just, it's fun. I do it when no one's home, obviously, because Larry would
dance
be
like no one's watching.
Yeah, Larry would be like, get the fuck off the couch. Like, what the fuck are you doing on the counter? Be like,
I don't think he'd be that judgmental. I mean, sometimes like I dance, but like lately I haven't. I used to dance in my kitchen. I'd turn on music and when I lived at home, so this was high school, but like when I'd bake, like my parents would be like gone at a friend's or whatever, and it'd be Friday night and I'd turn on the music and I'd bake and like the dogs would be there. So I'd kind of dance with my parents' dogs. It was so fun.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah, baking and cooking always needs music, always, because they could just shimmy around the kitchen. And I only, again, I'm sorry, but you chose music. Again,
no.
She's my cooking music and my baking music.
No.
She does. I'm sorry. Everything I cook and bake has a taste of T-Swift in it, and that's what makes it more delicious.
Does it taste bitter?
No, it doesn't taste bitter. If I'm serving it to you, that? I'll make sure it tastes bitter. No, I actually didn't. Okay. There's no song that's named bitter or anything.
No, because people have called her like bitter because she always sings about like love lost and stuff.
Oh, well, my bitter bitch, my queen.
That was a deep joke. So,
yeah, it was a deep cut.
Anyway.
Let's go.
So, improved depression. It can also help with social connection, which can also help with depression, but it can serve as a catalyst for social connection and support, breaking down barriers and bridging divides. It says that emerging evidence has said that the potential to enhance pro-social behavior, promote social connectedness, and develop emotional competence. Music can serve as a catalyst for social connection and support, breaking down barriers. I think that's also kind of mixes into cultural, can bridge cultural divides. Communities have also, like, as you've mentioned, in the past, they've used it as a sense of like belonging in a culture. Or I know with slavery, you know, they had songs to keep their moods up, but also to, wasn't there the Underground Railroad?
There was a song or something? They'd sing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, I think it just connects people, but also in that case, like sends messages that people don't actually know. So it just, it's a great catalyst for connection, to spread culture. I mean, because I know there's also cultural appropriation within music, but that's more on the artist side, not as a listener. But anyway.
If you wanted to get into it.
No,
that's another podcast.
Yeah, really. Yeah. So there's a number of musicians that have mentioned mental health, like Adele, Alanis Morissette, Ariana Grande, Billie Eilish. They've spoken out about their mental health battles and suicidal ideation, and having these artists who are creating this music, people can listen to this music and then feel more connected or feel heard. Or sometimes these musicians make songs in relation to those struggles or the mental health or that kind of thing. So it's nice to have that connection and know that, like, even these people who are creating these great songs are going through this. Also, with the healing effects of music, so I guess musicians may be at a higher risk of mental health disorders. A recent survey of 1,500 independent musicians found that 73% have symptoms of mental illness, which I found that was interesting. But this could be due in part to the physical and psychological challenges of the profession. They found that musically active people have, on average, a higher genetic risk for depression and bipolar disorder. So that was interesting. But once again, it's like, okay, what are all the variables here? Like, okay,
I should be playing music.
I mean, maybe you'd be great at it, yeah. But you never know. But it just, like, I feel like if you start playing music, I don't think that's going to make you more depressed. Like, if you try and become a musician and make that your profession, that might be harder and that might cause more mental strain. But I think we're not talking about like becoming a musician. We're talking about just playing the piano to help your mood or that kind of thing. So I just thought that was interesting of note. Lastly, how can you benefit from music? The intervention that's been studied the most is listening. And this can be done live or with live or recorded music. It can be with intentional focus or as just like that background noise type thing.
Oh, like I love binaural beats. Has that come up at all? Yes, I love binaural beats for focusing, like those different alpha waves, beta waves that they've identified that work in different and stimulate different areas of your brain. Like when I need to sit down and focus, like I'll just put that on in the background, and 20 minutes later, I'll be like, well, damn, you know, it's not like taking an Adderall or anything like that, but it definitely calms most of my brain down and lets me focus on things that are important. But even meditating to those brain waves, I really like those.
Where do you find them?
I find them on Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Spotify's, and what are they called?
Binaural Beats.
Binaural Beats. Mm-hmm. I'll have to look into that because, yeah, I haven't actually tried that yet. I know you did that, but
yeah
it actually works. It's worth a try.
And they have them for deep sleep too. Just make sure you don't use the deep sleep one while you're trying to study or do work. Because I mean, that makes sense. I was like, what's the difference? I figured out what the difference was real quick.
Oh my gosh.
Nap time.
But, well, I mean, at least it works. Like, that's a plus.
Yeah, it works. I believe music can really change the state of mind. I really, really do. So this is good. This is good shit. What else you got?
Well, like I said, so listening to music, you can also amplify your emotions if you need a release. Like, say you really wanted a good cry, you could listen to some of T Swift's songs.
You brought whatever. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you can match your music to your current mood. But you can also, which I think this is so interesting, match your mood, but then slowly change the feel of it. So like if you're sad listening to sad songs, then you slowly like start getting into T Swift's happier songs and, you know, the pop songs, and you can kind of shift your mood, which is so cool that you can kind of change your mood just on music. But you can also like have prompts while you listen to music, or exercise, or move more, or do a task you've been putting off. So like you can try and pair music with being active, or, you know,
dancing,
doing stuff you need to take
care
of, or dancing in your
with a blanket.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Over you, like
exactly.
It's a dress. Mm-hmm. Just running around, getting on your knees, okay. And really belting it out.
Sure. Yeah.
Cathartic.
So like I said before, learning or playing an instrument can help too. So active music making engages your entire brain. So it can, like, your brain doesn't have time to focus on other stuff because it's being engaged and in many different ways, being creative. Normally it's a motor skill thing, you know, just lots of stuff happening up here. Lots of cylinders firing. I was like, what's that car analogy?
What is that in there?
So that, this has an example of a steel tongue drum, for example, set up in a pentatonic scale, has a beautiful resonant sound and has no wrong notes, and by design allows you to just play. So this was this is an example they gave of instruments that are designed for easier access for free expression or learning. So like if you didn't know any music, you could just like bang on it and it would still sound good. Where a piano, you know, there's like sharp notes and like out of mm-hmm. key and all that stuff. So that can be like great for a beginner. Also, it mentions ukulele. I play some uke songs, whatever.
She's a little uker.
Okay. I wouldn't call myself that. I'd call myself a pianist, but sure.
Thank you. Thank you for saying it again.
Yep. No problem. And then last thing, singing. So this can be, if you have a good connection to your voice or have a good music therapy relationship where they can help you build a connection to your instrument, which that sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. There are physical benefits of singing on lung function and emotional benefits of singing lyrics that speak your truth. So all those people who have the lyrics about like their life or trauma, it helps them, I think, process it and also just deal with it. So
is this why we sing in the shower?
I don't
like
know.
People who can't sing. Like I can't sing, but like we
do you sing about trauma in the shower?
Well, I'm not singing about my trauma, but like I sing music. Like all of a sudden I'll just start singing, like, you know, when there's no music on, but I'm using my voice and I'm singing in the shower. And like, again, Larry, he'll be singing in the shower. And it'll be 4 a.m. in the morning, and I'll just hear him go, Kelly, oh, ha, ha. And I'm like, that's great.
That's cute.
Yeah, he always puts my voice in his songs, so he'll be rapping.
You mean like, your name?
Yeah, my name in his song. So he'll be like rapping something, and all of a sudden he'll be like, Kelly. But again, it's 4 in the morning, and I don't need to hear my name being screamed from the bathroom because that's like instant wake up.
That's so cute.
Yeah, we're fucking adorable.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. But my last point that I just wanted to make that a psychologist in music therapy in Chicago mentions is if you want to give yourself a break from like the emotions you're going through, pick a song that has a storyline different from the challenges you're facing, because it can like transport you elsewhere and give you a short break from your concerns, just like a good book, like when you read a good book and really get you dive in. So if you're like in a sad mood and you kind of want to get out of it, maybe listening to a happier song. So music really does help. Like it's science backed, which is really cool. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's my story in music. I'm sticking with it.
I like it. I believe it. And I believe I've done a few of those things that you've mentioned. I really rely on music a lot. I like seeing my Spotify wrap up at the end of the year and comparing it to others. And they're always like, you listen to how much this year? And I'm like, well, it's just always on. Like, especially when I worked in the kitchen like that, like I had control of the playlist. So you'd see like at the end of the year, it'd be like an insane amount of music was played. And it was, but that it keeps your mood going. Yeah. You know, that's another good point too. Working in the kitchen and being on the line and having all that, you know, I can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Yeah, no, when you play some Billy Joel in the kitchen, you could handle the heat. You could, and then all of a sudden those tickets line up, you know, you might want to change it, put on like a little like X gonna give it to you, you know, put on a little DMX and then all of a sudden those tickets start flying and food goes out. But yeah, no, food, not food. I like that. That was really good. That was really good. Thanks, Kimberly.
Thanks, girl. Thanks for saying that. Let's jump into this book. Let's meet our inner child.
Yes, that's chapter 7, meeting our inner child.
Chapter 7. Listen to us making music already. Maybe that's why we do it. That's why we like sing words.
I sing words a lot. Yeah, like in my personal life, in my work life, and anything. I'm just always singing.
Singing.
Not always, but I don't have a good voice to sing, but I could sing words. So what do we got here? We're doing chapter 7, Meet Your Inner Child, right?
Yep, with From How to Do the Work by Dr. Nicole LaPera.
Mm-hmm.
What attachment style are you? So attachment theory is our relationship with our primary parent figures, how it's the foundation of the dynamics of all the relationships we have in adulthood. I've seen this study before in a psych class. I remember seeing the video of like these moms leaving the room and like some babies crying and others are just like, okay.
I wonder if we had the same, we probably saw the same video.
Probably. I mean, probably I don't know how many videos. Yeah. It's like, so, you know, it's old because like the camera quality isn't the greatest, but yeah.
I had a secure attachment style.
Me too. That's funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. And look at us now. I think I might have had like anxious resistant at some point because like I think about how I not was clingy to my mom because I was able to like be independent and know my mom was there. But I think my own like because maybe I had sisters or, you know, I had to split my mom's time or whatever, that even sometimes when my parents were there, you know, I might still be anxious or something like that. But for the most part, yeah, I was secure as well. And it says research has shown time and again that people who had secure attachments in infancy tend to have secure attachments in adulthood, showing the remarkable lifelong effects of our parental bonds.
That's hilarious.
Hilarious.
I guess as long as it makes sense. Yeah, no, it does make sense. It makes sense. My bipolar just gets in the fucking way.
Yeah, I mean, that's like it makes sense because
I'm sitting here and I'm like, I don't know about that, but no, it is that. But then it's the bipolar that comes in and throws a grenade on everything.
yeah, I feel like illnesses will do that. But what did you really connect with in this chapter, Kelly? Or thought was interesting?
The inner child archetypes.
Oh, yes. Which one are you?
I'm not the caretaker. I'm not the overachiever. Not the underachiever. I'm not the rescuer or protector. Ah, shit.
Running out of options.
I'm the fucking life of the party, aren't I?
Yeah, I think you are.
Mm-hmm. This is the always happy and cheerful comedic person who never shows pain, weakness, or vulnerability. It's likely that this inner child was shamed for their emotional state, believes that the only way to feel okay is to receive love. And receive love is to make sure that everyone around them is happy. Or the hero worshiper. No. I guess I'd be the life of the party. Yeah. Are you a yes person?
I am multiple. I am the caretaker.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Partial overachiever because in high school, like, my sister was a lot smarter than me. I'm a rescuer protector. I've realized with my anxiety comes, like, I like to have control. So that position of power. I'm a bit of the life of the party because when you said make sure that everyone around them is happy, I like people to be happy. So in that, I'm like a people pleaser.
That's the yes person.
I'm also a yes person.
You're just, you can't be everything, Kimberly.
Yeah.
She has literally but named also all the of them. Hero, she's literally naming all of them. There's no, seven an, and you've named I'm five not an out of seven.
Achiever, yeah.
And you're not okay, a hero. You're not a hero worshiper.
No, I kind of am.
Do you need a guru to follow?
No, but like,
I know
the
one
way with, to receive know, love is to reject their own needs.
I know a bald guy with baby teeth that you could follow.
Okay, no, Kelly, shut that down. Shut that down. But I think the caretaker is probably the one because it kind of mixes a bit of all of them.
I see that for you too.
So
typically comes from codependent dynamics, gains a sense of identity and self-worth through neglecting their own needs. Okay, as long as you feel good about that. Believes that the only way to receive love is to cater to others and ignore their own needs. No, girl.
Yeah,
I've
had to work in therapy a lot how I need to basically be selfish where it's because the opinions of others matter a lot to me. And, you know, I'm always trying to talk to other people, make sure other people are okay. And it's like, no, you got to take care of yourself. So I've been working on that a lot.
You have to take care of yourself first so you can be your best self for other people.
Yeah.
There's a whole section on childhood fantasies in here.
Yeah. I mean, did you like that section?
Yeah, I didn't like, she gives these examples like of these people. She does this example about Nancy having fantasies, looking for like a longing hero. So in here, it's like she liked Duran Duran, but she dropped them from the fantasy that she had. But her later on, her crushes and her boyfriends, they always failed to live up to the pressure of the unattainable pedestal she placed them on. And when they failed her, she'd go find another person to fantasize about. And that often led her to seeking emotional and physical affairs, each of which would last until she found herself in exactly the same place again, unhappy, unfulfilled, desiring yet another escape hatch. That right there, I identify. I put expectations on people that are boyfriends specifically. That make no sense. Nobody can ever meet those expectations. And they're on a pedestal. And then every time they can't meet an expectation, that pedestal gets another knockdown and another knockdown and another knockdown until it's over. And then I find something else to fantasize about and go after. And yeah. So
how do you think that's changed in your current relationship, if at all?
Well, I'm in one, so.
Well, I mean, yeah, but do you hold Larry on a pedestal?
Well, I'm in one, so it's work. It's changed. No, it's like patterns. So it's just understand. Like at this point in my life, I understand I put expectations on people that don't make sense. They don't even make sense to put on myself. So I just have to remind myself of that when I do get into arguments or, you know, conversations with my partner that like, hey, they didn't even know that you wanted this from them. Like, what the fuck are you doing right now? Like, they are looking at you like you have five heads, Kelly. Like, they did not know that you expected this. Like, how else would anyone supposed to react? Like, yeah, I like that. I daydream a lot. I have a lot of different fantasies. So, and not when I like, not sexual things. Like when I say fantasies, just, you know, I'm just out in my head.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of resonated with the similar story where she says, The romantic liaisons provide an escape. The same principle applies to other fixations. People think they will be saved or fulfilled once they get a great job, buy a house, or have children. They check all the boxes, yet once they've achieved their goals, they find themselves just as unhappy, if not more so.
Oh, so, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
I feel like that's the way everybody works. Like, okay, in the next job, I'll be happier. Or like, once I start working out, like everything will change, or, you know, whatever it is. And It's just interesting that it's like, no, it's going to take more than a new house to like change stuff.
My therapist calls it putting lipstick on a pig.
Yeah.
Like when you think like, oh, well, this one thing, like, oh, we're going to have a baby and then everything's going to be fine. It's like, no, it's not. I was in a place in my life and I had just bought a condo with this guy I was with, and shit was going downhill for a year before we even moved into the condo. And that entire year, my therapist was telling me, like, you're putting lipstick on a pig. And the lipstick was that there was this gorgeous A-frame wall in the condo, and all I wanted to do was paint it like this gorgeous navy blue and put down like wood floors. And that's all I could focus on. And I was like, I just want my blue wall. And she's like, you just want lipstick on a pig.
Wow, you have a very forward therapist.
I do. I enjoy her very much. We've been seeing each other for years, so she can call me on my shit rather quickly because there's no need to go through that. And why do you think you did that? It's like, I already know why this bitch thinks she did that. Like, this is an hour. We got an hour to do this. Let's get right to it. So,
yeah, let's get to it quick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think a lot of people do that. They just may not recognize it or don't want to acknowledge it. Like a lot of people I've heard in marriages, I can't speak from experience, but like in marriages where people are like, things are bad, let's have a kid because that will help. Like I talked to an old coworker years ago and she's divorced and then she got remarried and she's like, I love my two kids. I wouldn't traded them for the world. But like we had the second kid because we're like, okay, let's see if this would help our marriage. And it obviously didn't.
Yeah.
And it's like, there is no band-aid to fixing issues that need stitches. Like,
I like that. There's no band-aid to fixing issues that need stitches. That might be the name of this episode.
Done. I did your job for you. But it's just like, no, you can't do something else thinking it's going to improve that. It's like when people, you know, get like liposuction or something and then the fat comes back and it's like, well, you didn't change your eating. You still aren't active. And I'm not judging people who are overweight. I'm overweight. But still, it's like you can't try and just be like, I'm going to take the easy way out or this one thing will make everything better. And it's like you have to once again do the work.
I know. And it always, I knew that's where that sentence was going. I was like, she's going to say it's how you do the work.
I'm going to say it.
Just because that's where it's got to go. It can't go anywhere else.
Yeah.
Before we jump off of this, what I thought was really interesting here, and this is also something that me and my therapist talk about, not that I've ever done this homework before, but write an inner child letter to yourself. So like you have, as it's been described to me, I've done parts therapy with my therapist. So it's like there's different parts of Kelly. There's, you know, there's a child Kelly. There's a teenage Kelly. Then there's this version of me that was in college. Then there's a version of me that was in my 20s. And, you know, they all have different names and they all have different traumas associated with them. So a lot of times, like these, my child self will come up in my anxieties and come to the top and be like, we can't do this. We're not doing like, this is too much. Like, or it might want to do the same pattern that it's used to. So say if like your pattern, like say my pattern was being a yes person, then it might be like, okay, we're going to yes. And that's when like, you have to acknowledge like, okay, hi, little child. Hi, child Kelly. So nice to see you. But don't worry, like 34-year-old Kelly is here. I've done this before. I can do this now. I appreciate like that you've come up and you just kind of like acknowledge that, okay, there's a part of me that is scared about this or excited about this or whatever it is. And that part is inappropriate for what's going on. And mm-hmm. so you kind of got to step in and talk to yourself. And that's when Nicole in here, she does like these little, she has these little, little essays to herself, these little letters. Like, yeah. Dear little caretaker Nicole. And then it's like, I see you, I hear you, I love you always. Wise adult Nicole. So she like signs these letters from like an adult Nicole, but also acknowledging that she hears them. So my therapist kind of taught me to do that, like in real time, just to be like, yeah, you might get, you get nervous, like when you're going into a job interview, but you're not that, you know, that 7-year-old Kelly who got made fun of for, you know, coming in on like, you know, mismatch a day with not mismatched socks, like, you know, whatever yeah. it is, like that stupid yeah. little trauma that stuck with you. It's like, you're going to show up and you're going to be messed up because you have like one thing wrong with you. Just like that one day back in like 1994. And I guess I could talk about this for a while, but I really like that part because that resonated with me, because that's a lot of good work that I've done with my therapist.
Yeah, I think it's important to acknowledge like your childhood or your inner child or the younger version of yourself, which I have never really done. So it's kind of new for me, but it's scary but exciting to look back. And it's almost like telling yourself like, hey, we've achieved great things. And it's kind of cool to reflect and be like, okay, we wanted a house when we were young and we have that, you know?
And there's so many people that don't. And then,
to talk to your like inner child and say, hey, you know, we're good. You know, we got this. Let's keep growing, you know, whatever. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it helped me get through a lot of different things. It's something I'm out of practice with right now. But you know, when you talk to your therapist and then you're like, oh, yeah, I like you're actively practicing something. And then it's like, oh, I haven't seen my therapist in like 2 weeks. And I kind of like forgot to do that part stuff when I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. But
oh, yeah, I know that all too well.
Well, that was good. Next week we'll do chapter 8. So listeners, if you're following along, chapter 8 is, what is it called? What do we got?
I already started it, so.
Oh, she already started
Ego Stories.
Look at you. Ego Stories, that's the one, right?
Yeah. And there's 13 chapters in this book, so we are more than halfway done.
Cool. Ego Stories looks like it'll be interesting. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about there. A lot of ego to talk about. Huge egos we have. All right. Well, this has been another fun podcasting.
Let's say podcast one more time. Podcast.
We appreciate everybody listening to the podcast. We would love if you would rate and review the podcast. Notice how many times I'm saying podcast.
Podcast, rate, review, please.
And we love doing this. We want to build a community with everybody that listens to us.
And just remember, when you're here, you're never alone.